Thanks for tuning in to The Real Deal Show, brought to you by ebodyboarding.com and Tribe Boards. Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls of all ages, Jay Real back at you with another episode of The Real Deal Show. And this is where I try to get in depth with some of the figures, the personalities, the famous and the infamous of the sport of bodyboarding. And today I have with you Jacob Reeve. How are you, Jacob?
I'm doing great. Thanks, Jay.
Dude, you're
good
looking
to be with you.
I'm glad you're here with me, and you're looking fit as a fiddle. Looking great. You got suns out, guns out, the whole thing happening.
That's right.
it has been a long time since you and I have spoken, interacted, probably more than 20 years, I think. I don't know.
Wow.
I can't remember. It's been a while. Might have been 15 or 20 years since we've spoken. We've interacted a little on the internet, right? Through social media.
Yeah.
But And I've seen the occasional picture. But
likewise.
But for those of you who don't know who Jacob Reeve is, and by the way, it is Reeve, not Reeves. No
That's
S
right.
on the end.
Thank you.
Jacob is one of the legendary bodyboarders from the Ventura, California area, Santa Barbara, Ventura corridor, if you will. Now living in Ojai, I believe. Am I right about that?
That's right. You got it right.
So right in between there and a little bit inland. And Jacob, for those of you who have been around the sport for a while, was one of the top riders of that era. Around the 90s, early 2000s, he appeared in many a bodyboarding video. If you go back in your catalog, you'll see the likes of Jacob tearing apart those breaks up in that neck of the woods. And on some trips, I got the privilege of traveling with Jacob to New Zealand many years ago, which I'll pull up a photo of later when we get to that. But Jacob, I mean, let's start with the basics. How old are you now?
48.
48, just a youngster, man, compared to me. So a spring chicken, if you will. And you are married to Kimberly. How many years now?
We just celebrated 27 years.
Which is exactly pertinent here because that New Zealand trip, you had just come back from your honeymoon when we went
really?
On that trip. I don't know if you remember that, but
I didn't remember exactly when that was.
Yep, a little factoid. So 27 years, congratulations. You have built an empire, a Reeve empire up there by virtue of, I believe, 6 children. Am I correct on that?
That's correct. Very prolific.
Kimberly, you poor thing. I'm just kidding, man. That is fantastic. And what are the age ranges of the kids?
23 to 12.
Wow, that is a big age range. Now, did I read correctly that you have 2 grandkids now?
We have 2 grandkids. Our 23-year-old has 2 kids. Yep.
Wow, Grandpa Jacob and Grandma Kimberly. That's awesome. Well, let's go back a little bit, Jacob, before we get into what you're doing now and talk about your bodyboarding life. I mean, did you grow up, were you born and raised up there in Ventura County or Santa Barbara County? Which town were you from there?
I grew up in Santa Barbara.
Okay. So you were driving down to Ventura primarily to ride waves because I believe, is that right? Because Santa Barbara is pretty flat in the summer, right?
Yeah, the summertime's terrible in Santa Barbara at most places, but I started really late. First time I really got a bodyboard, I was 14.
Wow,
and
okay.
and you know, it's pretty flat in Santa Barbara, but we started going in the summer, and by the time I, you know, that summer, my 14-year-old summer, I just fell in love with it. And so on my birthday in November, I asked for a wetsuit, and then I could, you know, bodyboard all winter long. And then I met Phil Harnsberger that first year at high school, our freshman year. And so he's, you know, and there was a couple other friends. We started a little friend group that just loved bodyboarding, and there's some surfers in it too. But yeah, we just went around, and then we started hearing about the waves in Ventura. So we started going down there. And Phil and I, actually, before I owned a car, we bought a boat and we started boating up to the ranch, Hollister Ranch. Not many people know about that place in the bodyboarding world, but there's two private ranches north of Santa Barbara, about 40 minutes. And if you can get access, there's about 20 reefs that are just absolutely perfect. It's different than anywhere. It's similar to Indonesia, like the texture of the water and the way the swell comes in, but it's glassy there like nowhere else because there's these huge kelp beds and the trade winds are offshore there. So it's like this really special, unique, one of a kind place. And so I kind of grew up going up there with Phil and a few others.
Was John
Anyway,
McKinney a part of that group? Like, because he eventually started producing videos.
John lived in Ventura, but I think he came with us one time. And we almost killed him. We miscalculated. There's this reef, Coho Reef, that breaks like a mile out to sea, but it's like dead flat. And then a set will come and it'll be like 15 feet and it'll break way further that out than you would ever imagine. We thought we were out far enough on our little boat. And that's the only time I think we brought him. And a wave, like a 15-foot wave, broke out so far out past our boat. And Phil, who was captaining the boat at the time, decided to turn off the motor so he could think about what to do, which is the worst. And I just started screaming at him. And we have all the camera gear and everything in the boat. And he made the right decision, but we just barely went up the face. That's a vivid memory. That's one of my vivid memories, is almost capsizing in our little boat, like a mile out to sea, near Point Conception.
Well, the ranch is, I mean, it's a legendary location. Everyone in surfing knows about it, but you don't hear much about bodyboarders going up there. And of course, now there's a move to make the ranch public. I've been seeing, various posts and information about that, but so far it remains a private domain. So you still have to launch a boat at Gaviota, right? And then
Or
motor.
someone. I have a funny story about that. When I was in high school, when I was a senior, I had an English teacher, and we were supposed to write stuff, and I'd write about surfing. And the English teacher pulled me aside one day and he said, "Hey, I noticed you surf." And I said, "Sure." And he said, "I have a ranch parcel and I have a daughter, and I'm not married or anything. And I go up there, and I just, after school every day, I go up to the ranch at noon." He got off at noon, and he's like, "And I just sit there and watch the waves, and I need someone to trade off surfing with me and watching my daughter. Would you be interested?" And I said,
And you're
"Of
like, me,
course."
me, 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 me.
And so he got me out of school. He helped me ditch school at noon. And the first time he picked me up, I had a bodyboard, and bodyboards kind of weren't allowed up there.
Wow, yeah.
And he was so bummed when he picked me up, but he took me up there and he's like, "You just go first. I'm gonna kind of hide out and pretend
He
I'm not
didn't
with
want to be
you."
associated with you because you had a bodyboard. Is that it?
But I went out and I took the scraps, and all the older surfers up there, they were really good in their day, but they've all kind of gotten old, and so they kind of try and do the same thing and fall off every wave most of the time. I don't want to disrespect them, but a lot of them, that's how they surf. And so I was just having the time of my life. And he, I had, that's right when I had invented the ARS, and I was doing ARSs, and he was just blown away. So he started taking me all the time. So that was like a gift, because those waves are like a wave pool. They break the exact same pretty much every wave, and you can really master, you could decide what you're going to do before you take the wave on all those
It
waves.
really improves your skills when you ride quality waves, no doubt about it. But you buried the lead right there, Jacob. And what I mean by that is you just brushed over a very important point that I was going to bring up in this conversation. And that was the statement that you made about inventing the ARS. Now, there has been much debate over who invented the ARS, obviously Mike Eppleston introduced it on a global scale because he was videoed and photographed and did it in contests. But a lot of people say that Jacob Reeve, another guy, Alistair Taylor, and there's yet another guy in Australia, his name eludes me right now, all independently did that maneuver without knowledge of each other. So when was your first ARS, and did you consciously do it, or was it an accident?
Well, I don't remember the exact date, and I will give full credit to those other guys. I know Mike Eppleston invented it too, because I saw the video of it. But everyone that knows me knows that I was doing them too around the same time. And the time we can figure out when it was is when The Inside came out. Remember The Inside, that movie?
Sure, Scotty Carter, yeah.
Scotty Carter, yeah. So in that movie, Chad Barba gets a wave. I think it's either that one or the other one that he did with the leftover footage. I can't remember, but they came out at the same time. And Chad Barba at Seal Beach does a roll, but he kind of over-rotates and he lands facing back toward the ocean. And the first time I saw that, when I saw him do that, I was like, he should have just done a 360 out of that. And then right. I thought, I'm going to do that. And I went to Emma Wood the very next day, and I tried it on my first three waves. The third wave, I pulled one. And then I started wow. pulling them all the time.
Wow. So, yeah,
all the,
that's...
All the locals at Emma Wood, like the Landucci brothers who used to bodyboard like in the 80s. I don't know if you remember them.
I do. Mike Landucci. I don't remember the other one.
Yeah, Mike just passed away, actually. Super sad, about 2 months ago. But they still go there. Buff and Steve are always at Emmawood, and Mike was there for a while, but he just passed away. But all of them were in the parking lot, and they are just, you know, there's probably 20 guys, all the surfers just honking when I did my first one. They all thought it was pretty amazing. They're so excited.
Wow. So, yeah, I mean, there's been the same debate with the El Rolo, you know, way back in the beginning of the 80s. Mike Stewart and Pat Caldwell each independently pulled it off. Pat's credited with inventing it, but Mike says he was doing them in Kona, unbeknownst to him that Pat was also doing them at Sandy Beach. So, yeah, I think that happens a lot in the sport of bodyboarding. Guys independently do the same things, and then they, you know, somebody gets credit for inventing it. You know, it's, I think that the thruster surfboard, there's a similar story about that, but we won't get into the weeds on that one. I want to go back to your history. So you had this friend group, and Phil Harnsberger and yourself at the core of that, and you guys were Santa Barbara guys, and you started going to Ventura because, you know, you had punchier, wedgier waves, presumably, right? More consistent conditions, particularly in the summer. When did competition come into the fold for you?
I think I was 16, and there was the the WCB, West Coast Bodyboarding?
Yes, which eventually became the BIA, yes.
Yeah, so the West, I did the very last one of those that ever existed, the WCB.
Yes.
And it was at Ventura Harbor at South Jetty. And I ended up getting all the way to the final, and I got third in the final. And I remember Chris, what's the guy? David Kniff.
Oh yeah.
He was there, and he was all hyped up, and he's like, "Hey, I want to sponsor you." And he sent me two Challenger boards.
Oh wow. Classic.
And then, yeah.
What were
and then,
you riding up to that point? What were you riding?
I was riding tubes. And Nels Velocito was there, and he gave me one of his boards. He gave me a Nels Velocito model board.
they all wanted a piece of Jacob.
They're all giving me their stuff. But I appreciate it, because I didn't have any money, and I was like just riding boards for like 2 years straight and creasing them all up.
Yeah.
I did that, and then the very next WCB I sent my money in, and it like collapsed, and I never got my money back. It was before internet, before you could So I was like, okay.
Right.
And then we did the little CSA, the Christian Surfers contest, that were mostly surfers, but there was, they allowed a little bodyboarding section out of that. And it was so funny because we met, so me and Phil and Eric Eliason, Eric Haskell, Pablo Landrice, Jad Little, and a handful of other people from Santa Barbara did those. And then Brian Stoker and I think it was Aaron Pearson and Randall Hamilton, all from Pismo, they were doing those too. So we met them before Brian was doing No Friends. And Brian
Yeah.
was a bodyboarder, and we'd compete against him. And it was so funny. It was like the Santa Barbara versus the Pismo guys. But we all loved each other. We had a great time together, and then we started kind of, connecting and surfing together and going to different places together. So we
Well,
would do those little contests. It'd be like 5 people to 10 people entered the whole contest, but they're all really talented people, turns out.
sure. Well, what's interesting to me is that you were around during that No Friends era.
Yeah.
Obviously, guys, one of the guys who started it, Ross McBride, was from generally from your area, not
Camarillo,
obviously
yeah.
Santa Barbara, but Camarillo. And you would go to the base and ride waves with them. How did somehow you not end up kind of getting folded into the No Friends crew? Is it just because you had a different lifestyle than they did, or what was it? It just never happened.
Well, I was friends with all those guys. It was kind of weird that we didn't connect. I know Stoker always wanted to connect. Stoker was always, so happy to shoot and all that. And he was always trying to get me included in everything. But I think a lot of the times that he would invite me, I would either couldn't make it or I'd get skunked somehow. And then at one point, one of the No Friends guys, the older guys, asked me to ride for No Friends, and I was stoked. But then when Fred Booth and some of the other guys heard that, they're like, "Hey, what are you doing? Jacob doesn't fit the image." And then
Right.
they did it respectfully. They called me and they're like, "Hey, I'm so sorry that he did that. Obviously, you don't, you're not the same image as what we're trying to portray, and we're kind of like the I don't know, the lost sellout, or not sellout, I forgot what it was,
Well, they're
but
trying to put more of an edge on the sport
yeah.
and,
And I
hey,
was
let's
always
go
clean cut.
party at night and surf during the day, that
Yeah.
kind of thing.
And I was, a pretty devout Christian, and more of just a athlete and super happy about life,
Yes,
all that stuff.
understood.
So I didn't have any offense. I was just like, yeah, no worries if you're going for that. And we're all friends and everything. There was no offense in any direction.
Yeah.
It was just a weird thing. So, but
So
I think going on the trips, I was always invited on their trips, but or I would have been, Phil was, and Phil and I shared so many similarities. We were best friends all growing up. We're still close, and so I don't think that there was any kind of desire to exclude me in any of that stuff.
well, they knew you could bring, you could bring the heat out in the water. You were a super talented rider. They knew you would be launching it. And so, yeah, it would behoove them to have you be a part of it. And of course, you were in many videos during that era. Obviously, I mentioned John McKinney earlier. You were in some
Yeah.
of his tapes. I'm sure you had waves in some of the No Friends series and various other videos during that time, which people could probably search on YouTube and find clips of. But you, I mean, you were known like for charging giant waves, for ripping in small waves. So you had a really well-rounded repertoire in bodyboarding. Did you ever parlay that into like a full-time, did you consider a full-time pro career? Was that ever on on the cards for you, or just you were already moving on with your life at that point?
Well, I was pro. I was getting paid probably more than the vast majority of people. Wave Rebel and 360 Incorporated, which ran Wave Rebel, Body Glove, Ion, and a bunch of other stuff. They had, you know, skateboard companies, snowboard companies, bodyboard. They ran Doyle. So I worked for them, and I had a pretty good salary and photo incentives and travel fund and all that for at least 5 or 6 years, 6 years. But they had Guilherme. Guilherme was like my traveling partner, and they had a world champion in Guilherme. They had Brian Weiss, who was at the right when I started, he was first in the US. So they didn't need a contest guy. They just wanted a video. You know, they wanted me to
free surf. Free
yeah,
surf.
Free guy. Surf. Yeah. And so it was I kind of wanted to do the world tour, but they didn't really support that too much. So it made it really hard for me to do the world tour events. I think I would have done pretty well in the world tour. Given that the times that I did get to compete, I did pretty well against all the top guys.
Did you enjoy competing?
I did. I was really good. I to this day, I've won more than half of the contests I ever entered.
Wow.
And that's a pretty gnarly statistic, given that there's a lot of,
yes.
There's a lot of people in each contest.
That's very impressive. And you said you had a travel fund. Obviously you got to travel. Just to do a little sidebar here, I'm going to do a quick I was going to do a quick screen share, but because this is a call that you guys made to me, I can't. But you and I famously went to New Zealand together.
Yes.
With a group of riders, which included Michael Eppleston and Vicky, who, my wife now, of course, and did I mention Nels Velocito? He was there. Peter Gleason, Vicky's brother. And we had Chris Stroh. And that trip was unique in that we were probably the first group of pro bodyboarders to ever go to New Zealand. We rented RVs. We had two of them. We drove around the North Island. You had this rag. Do you remember this story?
I got so sick on that trip.
You were horribly sick. You had like a sinus infection. And you had this rag that you never cleaned. You blew your nose into it night and day, and you kind of used it like a weapon, not a weapon, but sort of a threat. And if anyone got near you or tried to take your food or your bed,
Nels had some definite run-ins with the rag.
The snot rag was ubiquitous on that trip. That's one of my greatest and most horrifying memories of that trip.
Do you remember when we were at Vicky's place and I had that intestinal problem?
Oh my gosh. Okay,
and
this is about when we're in Australia.
For like 2 minutes.
Oh wow.
Remember that? We were at her field hockey game and
oh my gosh. Wow.
Farted for like a straight 2 minutes and it wouldn't stop. And you were just like laughing right next to me. I remember that.
I think I blocked that out.
And I pooped in my pants a bunch of times. It was awful. I enjoyed going to, was it Knights Beach?
Yes. Okay.
Because
that's
I
in
just
South
went in the water
Australia.
And I could just diarrhea all that I wanted.
Wow. That's impressive, man.
That was like the only comfort that I had when we were over there is like Knights Beach. And I could just diarrhea
so
without
good,
worrying
man.
About pooping in my pants.
So good. That's great. So while you got to experience some parts of the world with that travel fund and
yes.
make the most of it. And at some point after, those 5 years you were sponsored, things came to an end, right? Was it that Wave Rebel was kind of like moving more into mass market and away from high-end boards, and you just decided, okay, it's time to hang up the swim fins kind of thing?
No. We started having kids, and my wife got pregnant with my oldest, Lily, and I was in Indo. Me and Phil decided to go to Indonesia when she was pregnant, and that was during those volatile elections when they were having riots and people were getting kidnapped and stuff. And everyone's saying, "Don't go to Indonesia. It's super dangerous. And we thought, this is perfect. We'll go to Indonesia and get empty waves. So we planned this trip. We designed this trip to go to Lakey Peak and Lakey Pipe and Periscopes on Sumbawa. And when we went there, we were driving in this taxi for like 8 hours to get to the other side because the planes were broken and stuff. I don't know what was going on, but it took us forever. And finally, the taxi guy kept on telling us to hide in the back, but it was like 100 degrees and so stuffy. And he had like four kids sitting on top of us, plus
Oh
all of
my
our baggage.
gosh. Wow.
And I started getting so car sick that finally, after it must have been like 6 hours, I said, forget this. I'm going to go up on the ceiling, because go up on the roof of the van, because the kids would climb up there to get a break every now and then, climb out the window and climb. So I did that. And the driver was yelling at me, and I was like, I don't care. This is
Wow.
awful. So I climbed up there, and we start going through this town, and these guys see me up there, and they all start yelling.
Uh-oh.
And pretty soon the whole town comes out, and they're chasing the van, and the cab driver is yelling, not the cab, but the van driver is yelling at me to get back in. And pretty soon there's like 100 Indonesians with like clubs and machetes and stuff chasing the van, and like they were gonna kill us.
No
And
way.
it scared the crap out of me. I like climbed
Wow.
back in, and the taxi guy or the driver just floored it. And they got like 2 feet from the car, from the van. They were like, there's like so many of them. And then we drive probably 20 minutes, and we pull up to our place
Oh no. So
from
they're
that.
within walking range
Yeah,
of your
they could get to
place.
us in an hour. And
Oh
so
my
we pull
gosh.
up and we walk in. And
Well, the place is probably empty.
we get to
Uh-oh, I'm losing the connection here. Technology. Gotta love it. Don't get too far away from your Wi-Fi. Hold on. I lost you where you said you just arrived at the place and now you're frozen on my screen. Come on. I'm dying to hear the end of this.
Can you hear me now?
Yeah, you're kind of in and out of, I heard you briefly. Now I got you back again. Okay. So
Okay.
you arrived at the place and then what happened?
Yeah, so I arrive at we arrive at the place, and we're all like, there's I think like five of us on that trip, and we're all a little spooked. Like, we're gonna die, I think. You know, we're gonna have to sword fight these Indonesians. And we so in the place is like, there's like a 6 foot wall with a glass pointing up on top of it, a broken glass, and there's 12 huts, and then a big huge two-story hut in the middle, and then Lakey Peak is right out in front. And so we get there, and they tell us to put our stuff in, so we put our stuff in. And then this big huge Australian dude comes out, and he's like, hey, we're gonna have a meeting in the big hut, all the surfers that are here, we need you to come right now.
Oh,
So we throw
wow.
our bags in there, and we go in there, and there's maybe a dozen surfers, and then there's us five, and there's this big table, and there's two guns and like three spears and like three machetes on the
You've been
table.
drafted into the Sumbawa Army.
Yeah, but it's like
Wow.
this, all these Aussies and like some Europeans and stuff, and they're like, okay. We walk in, and this big Australian surfer guy's like, okay, if they invade us tonight, I'm gonna have a gun and he's gonna have a gun. Who's the best at swords here? And I looked at it, and I'm
Oh
like, you gotta be kidding me. I'm thinking, my wife's pregnant, I'm never gonna see my baby.
gosh.
And so I quietly, everyone's like fighting over who gets a sword, and I pictured myself like sword fighting 100 Indonesian
Swashbuckling.
guys.
Yeah, like a
Yeah.
pirate,
And
man.
I'm like,
Or
I
a
could probably take
musketeer.
one. I might be able to take two, but I don't think I could take 50.
So
And there's
you're
like a,
envisioning yourself, running some dudes through with the sword if you have to.
yeah. And so, so I'm, I start quietly like praying, like, God, get me out of this. We haven't even looked at the waves. This is like first, we're right there, and like we're
Stoked.
like welcome to fighting sword deaths.
Are you
Sword.
thinking that we're going to get a discount for sure, right?
No,
That's what
it
I'd be thinking.
was already cheap. It was like dirt cheap, probably like $10 for the whole time. So I quietly, I'm like praying, going like, God, what do I do? How do I get back to my? I already, I'm like, what did I do this? How do I get to back to my baby?
Yeah.
And I hear a voice, like I hear God's voice say, those who live by the sword will die by the sword, which is a scripture. I didn't know it at the time.
Right.
And so I'm like, okay, I am not gonna sword fight to, I don't want to kill anyone. Like, I am not gonna kill someone. I don't want that on my conscience. And I have a strategy. I'm gonna just swim out into the ocean. Because I know in the ocean I can beat probably all these Indonesian guys out in the ocean
Yeah,
unless they're in a big
they're
boat.
not gonna come after you unless they have a boat.
Yeah, and I'll just stay in the waves for days and days. I don't care. So so anyway, I quietly sneak out of there and I just go sit in a hut and I'm just kind of having a life-changing moment. Like, and the life-changing moment is like, I want to be a family man. And
Yeah.
that's a bigger priority than surfing, which was, it wasn't until that moment.
Wow. So you had an epiphany at
Yeah.
the tip of a sword. Wow.
Yes. And so I made a commitment. I said, God, if you get me out of this and bring me home, I'll give my life to you. And
Wow.
yeah. And so I was scared.
Yeah,
And
who
so,
wouldn't be? That's crazy.
yeah, the elections happened, and what happened is we kept on like hearing like, we kept on checking, like, is there going to be, are they going to come for us? It was like you couldn't sleep all night. We had people watching every night to alert everyone. So no one was getting good sleep. We were surfing during the day, people taking turns, night shift turns, staying up at night. And
Wow.
and then no one came, and the election happened, and we found out it's going to be 3 months before they finished counting the
Oh,
votes to see
man.
if they were like,
Wow.
I don't know why, I don't know what the reasoning was over there for the riots or for hating anyone. But so I got home after all that, and I was so thankful to be home, and I just, and I kept my oath, and I didn't know what I was supposed to do, but shortly after that, I didn't become a pastor, like right after that. But shortly after that, I started really pursuing God, pursuing spirituality, and and my wife and I, we really kind of gave our whole life over to our faith. And then a church formed around us. Kyle Maligro was part of the church. He was the worship leader, and for several years. And that was amazing. It was an amazing time. Which just like Brian Barker, the bodyboarder, he moved up and was part of that. A bunch of bodyboarders. It was like a fun
Wow.
party bodyboard church. And the church is still alive to this day. There's a couple hundred people that are a part of it. I usually don't go to it, but it's still up there in Isla Vista.
Wow. So now I know you've been super involved. In fact, that is pretty much your life now, is being involved in your faith and writing books and things like that. Talk about how those early days after you returned from Indo led you to what you're doing now, and talk about what you do for a living now.
Well, I was a pastor for a few years, for I'd say 5 years, and then and what I didn't do church kind of how most people do church. I was not interested in the religious part of it, but more of the developmental part of helping people. And so
Interesting.
we would set up communities, and there'd be community living for young people, and we'd help mentor all those young people in real life scenarios, like how to get jobs, how to live together in harmony. and how to be a healthy human being. And so, oh, that's a loud motorcycle over there.
I couldn't even hear it. Now, were you making a living doing this somehow?
Yeah. So, we would find, I would do other jobs too at the same time, if I needed to. And it was a nonprofit organization, and I got sometimes a salary out of that, sometimes not. And we had all these different, community houses. And so my family and whatever house we had was always ended up being a community house. We'd let people stay with us. And so, hold on, let me see really quick. Do you know what time it is?
I do. It's 5:06 p.m.
Okay. I just have to be somewhere in a little bit, so I have a meeting. But anyway, hold on real quick.
We're probably going to run out of time on the Zoom pretty soon. It'll give me a 5-minute warning, so. Yeah. So okay, I'm moving you towards that end point.
Yeah. So after that, I always stayed bodyboarding. And then I started kind of a different type of ministry, Santa Barbara House of Prayer. And it was more of, it's not affiliated with the House of Prayer movement or anything. It was just an independent thing. And it was more of kind of like a synagogue where there's classes and different organizations could rent the space and use it for whatever they wanted to do. And so we were kind of a hub of education and spirituality in downtown Santa Barbara. And I ran that for 4 years and handed that off, and stayed bodyboarding. I've stayed bodyboarding to this day. I was out this morning. And nice. my body isn't very happy. I have a broken rib, broken hand. I have to get surgery on Monday on my hand from cold water, getting the board ripped out over and over again.
No way. So, and the broken rib is from that as well?
Broken rib is from an invert on Big Wednesday back 30 years ago or something. And it stayed broken. It's in my first rib right here under my shoulder blade. And then I broke my thumb at pipe and my knuckles. I punched the reef really hard.
And those are all still ongoing injuries after all these years because you never let them heal?
Yeah, my knuckles lock. See that?
Wow.
Sometimes they'll lock where I can't open them. I have to like pry them open. But yeah, I punched the reef at pipe and you could see all my bones. I can't.
Wow.
My knuckles.
So this was like you got thrashed on a wave and just driven into the reef and your knuckles.
Well,
hit it.
You know, when it's offshore and you can't really see when you're paddling into a big wave.
Yes.
So I thought this wave at pipe was perfect, and I should have known because the Tamayo Perry was pulled off. And so I just chucked around and airdropped into it. I thought it was going to be a perfect west bowl, but it was a west swell, but it had a north coming into it. So I just pulled into a giant closeout, and there was no sand that day. So I just ended up punching the reef really hard.
Yeah.
But anyway, I started flipping houses after I lost my voice, and I felt like I had played the role that I was supposed to play for about a decade, you know, mentoring people and all of that. And I'm starting marriage counseling now. We've done marriage counseling for 20 years, and I'm just now starting. I don't even have my website up yet, but I'm going to start taking
clients. And you're trained in that field?
Yeah. Well, we did it for 20 years, and then I just finished the Gottman method, which is a really, it's like the opposite of a spiritual approach. It's a very natural scientific approach. And I want to be really well-rounded to be able to offer everything that I can. And I just want to pursue education and helping couples. Marriages are so hurting all over now. There's so many things that come against marriage that it's a tragedy, because it really can be the most fulfilling thing that you have in life, or the most tragic and awful.
Yeah,
And
we've
so,
all seen both sides.
yeah. And so I feel like my wife and I have discovered through trial and error a lot of secrets to happy union. And also I've been trained in a lot of different things, and I've probably done the marriages for about 100 people.
Wow,
and
man. Noble cause. And this is all stuff that's generates enough income to support six kids. Well, now I suppose five, since your oldest is.
Well, I also flipped houses, and I have a tiny home business that I build custom tiny homes for really amazing custom tiny homes. And I don't know how to change the background, but I have all these tiny homes around here. And I'll, you know, so I kind of do a whole mishmash of different things. I stay free so I can surf whenever I want. So,
and
but
you,
yeah.
Hold on, you built the tiny houses yourself? Like you.
Yeah. So I flipped a couple houses. I came back. I became a general contractor. For about 2 years, I had a construction company. It was big for me. I hated it. We had about 30 employees and did a lot of remodels and home additions and stuff. And then I got out of that and I got licensed. I'm a licensed RV manufacturer now. So I can license my own tiny homes to drive down the street. And and so I could make, you know, I can build anything. I know all the trades, and I love that for a while, but now my body's kind of like not wanting me to work with my body as much. So I'm like,
you're feeling the effects of a physical life, and obviously
yes.
The bodyboarding at the core of that. It's starting at 48 years old. You're feeling it.
Yes.
Okay.
I think at
sure.
35, I started. When did you start feeling it?
Yeah, probably honestly in my late 40s. I
Oh, wow.
Yeah. I mean, I was doing triathlons and ultra marathons and stuff all through that period till my early 50s. And now I'm 60. And I'm
wow.
I still surf every single day, but I noticed my lung capacity going down, but everything
yeah.
else is good. I didn't
That's good.
Do crazy maneuvers like you did though. So everything
yeah,
else
I
works.
Think I'm starting to slow down on the maneuver. Now I'm like, don't do it. Don't do it. Whenever I'm like, there's
yeah.
no section. I'm like, don't do it.
Yeah. You're going to
So,
hurt your neck or your back. Yeah. I get it.
Yeah.
Totally.
I'm really
get it.
Active though. I go biking and I work all day, and I'll go, there's a amazing swimming holes right here. So I'll cold plunge in the winter and then swim in the summer, and I'll bike over there. There's a lot of hills, and
Yes.
I'm backpacking all the time or surfing. It's great.
Yeah. You keep moving, man. That's,
Yeah.
That's what I always tell people. You got to keep moving, because I'm sure you know plenty of guys that you've known for years, they're your age, and they've given up. Oh, I'm too old for that, man.
Yeah. Never, never give up.
Never give up. I agree, man. Well, geez, that's so awesome. So you've written what, 5 or 6 books? They're on Amazon, right?
Yeah. I've written a bunch of books, theological books. One book is not theological. It's more of like an experience that I had, like a spiritual experience that I had, and I tell the story of it. And it's kind of my, like, I guess, the revelation I had that kind of opened me up to, how would I put it? I think being genuine in my faith instead of having a vicarious religious faith, I guess. I don't know what to call it.
Yeah. So
right.
this is all at the core of your being for many, many years now. And it still obviously is a huge part of your life. And now you mentioned you're getting into marriage counseling. Is that with Kimberly?
I'm sure she'll get pulled into some of them, but she's so busy right now. She's a personal trainer, and she has classes, and she's watching the grandkids a lot, and then she's managing some of our rentals, and so she's really busy, and I'm either building or counseling or surfing.
Yes.
Or managing businesses or whatever. So We're both.
Man, you are a busy guy with your hands in a lot of pies there.
Yeah, I wouldn't advise it, but it's working for us.
Do you get in the water a lot or just when it's good?
When it's good for sure, and one of my sons just is a surf turkey, so he's always wanting to go every chance. So he keeps me going even when it's bad, when it's
Love
not so
it.
good. And he has a whole little group of friends that are always wanting rides to the beach, so that's great. They keep me going.
And is he a surfer or bodyboarder?
He does both.
Does both.
He
Now,
mostly surfs, but he'll bodyboard if it's good for it.
yeah, that's good. So you still have five of your six kids at home, or is
All of
that
them are
kind
home right now. That
of, or
they
they
all
all
came
are?
back for COVID.
Oh,
Two of
okay.
them left to go to college and university and stuff, and then COVID hit right then, and so they came right back. And they tried for like 3 months to do the online stuff, and they're like, "Screw that,
Yeah.
we're out of here." So they all came back, and so we're a big happy family for a season, which is amazing. It's really busy, but it's also, it's a season that we gotta enjoy. And so we do. It's really fun seeing all the kids interact with
Every
each other
day.
and develop their relationships. Yeah, and the grandkids are here too. I made my daughter a tiny house, and she lives in on the prop. We have 2 acres in Ojai,
Oh,
and
sweet.
yeah.
Wow, you are a true saint, man. Not many dads would go, yeah, I love having all six of my kids and two of my grandkids living on the property with me. Most dads would be like, get out. Do your own thing. But no, good for you, man. I'm glad
Well,
you
I
guys
get
are.
out. If I need a
It's
break, I get out.
yes, that's why you go surfing and work so
Yeah.
much, right? You get a little
Yeah.
break. I get it.
Yeah.
So Jacob, I mean, it sounds like every day is maybe a little different. Do you have a workout routine or anything that you do consistently every day or anything like that?
No, I'm really healthy though. I've just started for the first time in my life working out those last like 3 to 6 months, and I'll just do it twice a week usually. And my wife has her fitness stuff, so and she's her parents are her parents are very, very well educated in alternative health,
Okay.
in medicine. Her dad taught his, her dad wrote the textbook called Alternative Health Medicine, and he taught at university, alternate, like non-Western medicine.
Great
And
resource to
so,
have there.
oh man, it's amazing. Anytime anyone gets sick or gets injured, we just call him and he's like, well, try this, whatever. So
Yeah.
Kimberly's picked up most of that knowledge now, and so she's just a wealth of information with health, and she's amazing.
Well, as a personal trainer, I'm sure that's a good thing to have in her arsenal of tools to keep people fit and healthy. There's
Yeah.
no doubt about that. So Jacob, as we wrap this up, because I know you have to go, I have to go. There's so much more we could talk about, but I have a couple quick bodyboarding related questions to circle back to the
Okay.
core of the purpose of the Real Deal show. We love to hear all the things you've been doing, but bodyboarding wise, let's talk about your early influences. Who were your influences when you started out?
My favorite bodyboarder was Ben Severson. I always was rooting for him against Mike Stewart. Obviously Mike Stewart is amazing, but Ben Severson, I'd always be like, "Come on, Ben, you could do it," in the early PSAA tours. And then when Guilherme came on the scene, I was amazed at Guilherme, his charging and everything. And then I got to be a good friend of his, and we got to travel a bunch. So
Yep.
that was great. So yeah, those were I was like the second generation, I think, of kind of the second gen, depending on how you count it, but like kind of you and Mike and Ben and Sasaki and all those guys were the kind of the first generation, and
Right.
then we came after you.
Yes. Totally cool. Now, what's your favorite spot that you've ever ridden? Do you have a favorite spot?
No, I love my spots here.
Okay. Name
Emmett
one of
Outer
them.
Reef, Emerald Outer Reef is when it's huge and low tide is, I love that wave. And then Jetty, of course.
They changed the South Jetty though at some point in the 90s. They added a little elbow to it and it changed the wave. Am I right? This is in Ventura, California, for
Yes.
those of you listening or watching.
Yeah, it blocked a lot of the swell from getting in. But the good thing about that was there was these crazy locals, local surfers that would, they're on crack or something, because they would either be pretty cool with us or they would like try and fight us. And they're like full grown men and we're teenagers. And so it was always like we're always on edge whenever we went there. And if they were out, we couldn't paddle out. So we'd have to go out and get there earlier than them and paddle out. And then they'd have to paddle out on us. And then they might snake us or yell at us or whatever. But so when they built that outer jetty, all those guys like went to prison or something. And I actually,
To
I think
prison.
they all did go to prison or they like overdosed. And
Wow.
because we never saw them again. And then Jetty became the bodyboarders, like me and
Wow.
Eliason and Phil. It's really a heavier wave. Like it feels like concrete when you land.
Wow.
People don't realize that. It's a really challenging. I love it because of how challenging it is.
Hence all the injuries that you're suffering now,
Yeah.
landing
Most of
on
my friend, like
concrete.
Phil Harnsberger, still injured from like 10 years ago from
Oh.
surfing there. He hurt his back there. Yeah.
Wow. Yeah, I would see I mean I'm the same as you. I would, nowadays I go on waves and I see air sections or whatever, and I'm like, that's if I hit this thing, it's gonna hurt so much to land my neck or what. I feel like our necks, if you did x-rays,
Yeah.
people from, that have been bodyboarding for many decades, it would look like we were in 50 rear ender accidents, right? On the x-ray.
Yeah.
Oh, you have whiplash really bad. You know what I mean? I feel like
Yeah.
the neck and the back takes the brunt of the injuries on bodyboarders over time, but some have defied the odds. Jeff Hubbard, classic example. He's
Yeah.
your age, 48 years old. That guy's like a rubber man, right? He can
How did
still,
you do it?
I
I'm
know
still
he
there.
can.
I still do stuff, but not like that. Not like Jeff, man. I don't know how. I think, is he slowing down at all?
He is not, man. I do
That's
commentary
crazy.
sometimes for the world tour, and he won the Frontone event a year and a half ago at 47.
That's amazing.
Launching gigantic airs. I mean, he's still doing it. He's hadn't slowed down. It's crazy. He's an anomaly, though. I would have to say that.
Yeah.
So,
Well, he figured out, he rides those thin boards
yes.
and he figured out how to land. I'm like a
Yes.
big fan of his. He's one of my favorites, but
Yeah, and he stretches a lot. He's obviously keeps the flexibility alive, which helps. What are you riding now, Jacob?
tubes. I love my tubes boards. Pat
Still.
Tubes is still making me my custom boards, and I started with tubes and I'm ending with tubes. I'm so thankful for Mark Goodenough. He films me sometimes and he helps out at tubes and does a lot of the advertising and stuff.
Okay.
But Pat's still my guy.
What size board are you riding?
I ride between 40 and 40. Usually I just start a little bit bigger and thinner, and I'm chiseling down the rails. We could talk.
Uh-oh, you're breaking up,
5 years,
man.
I used to make all my own boards. And I learned a lot, but stuff that we don't even need on our body boards, like the bottom rail and the tail, is you could taper that down at the tail a lot, and you'd have way quicker response times. So like
Yes.
especially at the tail, if you have it at the nose, it tends to spray you in the face a little bit, so you'd have to change your overall shape to get it to not do that. But if you had like a 70-30 at the nose going down to a 10-90 at the tail, your response, so like as soon as you think like bottom turn to hit, you'd already be bottom turning, instead of you have to take some time to make your bottom turn really slow. So there's a style you know, their style points maybe. Like Spencer Skipper used and Mike Stewart used a really big bottom rail, and their riding is a lot more planned out than quick responsive small waves. Not even small wave, it works on big waves too to have a thin bottom rail. But anyway, that's
Interesting.
another fun fact. Yeah.
Yeah, I've seen boards like that that had a very small bottom rail and a larger top rail. It's an interesting concept. You know, I mean, you see it in surfing, where surfboards taper and get very thin at the tail, right? There's a reason for that. So
There is.
it makes sense it would apply on bodyboards. Just nobody's manufactured a stock board like that. But yeah, interesting design concept for sure. Yeah, are you driving right now?
I am just around the corner.
Pay attention to
I'm
the road.
yeah.
I love it, man. Any final thoughts here, Jacob, as we wrap this up so you can get to where you're going?
No, I appreciate the time and appreciate you, Jay. I'm always a big fan. I don't know why I see your wife's stuff. It might be your stuff on Facebook all the time. And I'm always pressing the like button. And I'm a big fan of your family. You've done great.
Thank you, brother. And obviously you have as well. Your story needed to be told, and I'm sure there's more to tell at a future time, but I'm glad you discovered my podcast. The reason I contacted you was that there was a Facebook post and you said nobody's really gotten the stories of bodyboarders, and I said I have. Man, I've had like
That's
94 episodes of this show.
great.
So hopefully you take a deep dive and look at some of the interviews I've already done. There's many more to come, of course. And
Yeah, I will.
yeah, and I wish you and Kimberly and all your family the best of luck. And if you guys are up in the Santa Barbara, Ojai, Ventura area, look out for this man. All you got to do is look in the air above the wave, and that's probably where this guy is. Jacob Reeve, thanks for joining us today on the Real Deal Show, buddy.
Yeah, thank you, Jay.
No worries. So, folks, that'll do it for the Real Deal Show. If you watched us on YouTube, give us the thumbs up, subscribe to our YouTube channel, please, and throw down some comments for Jacob. If you listen on the audio podcast, hope you enjoyed listening while you're doing your workout or your drive or whatever the case may be. And on behalf of Jacob Reeve and myself, Jay Real, folks, as always, we will see you in the surf.